Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Can't Be Too Careful department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, go ahead. I mean, this is a series of warning labels. This was sent to me, I think, by my old pal Johnny Mellum, who has got what?
Squat to do.
So all he does is send me stuff. This is warning labels, and it seems as though it came from England because there are some British brand names. But here's some of the warning labels that appear on actual products. On tiramisu dessert, printed on the bottom of the box, it says, "Do not turn upside down." Oops! This is a good one. On a Korean-made kitchen knife, warning, keep out of children. On a string of Christmas lights for indoor or outdoor use only. I like my personal favorite was on a bag of Fritos. It says, "You could be a winner. No purchase necessary. Details inside." Okay. That's referred to as the shoplifter special. No purchase necessary.
Well, in the event that you find a bag that's half eaten, I suppose you wouldn't avail yourself of that opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to alert us to some unforeseen hazard regarding your car.
Yeah.
Or anything else for that matter, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Ann. I'm calling from Minneapolis.
Hi, Ann from Minneapolis.
Is that with an E at the end?
No E.
No E.
No, okay.
I need to complicate things.
Minneapolis.
Why use an extra letter? What does it possibly add to have the E at the end?
I have no idea.
So have you bumped into my buddy Les Block yet in Minneapolis?
No.
Dr. Les Block.
Dr. Les Block. Yeah.
Dr. Block teaches at the University of Minnesota.
What does he teach?
I don't know. He never told me. I think he's in the School of Public Health. Why? Do you go there?
No, my ex-husband's father was a professor at the University of Minnesota.
It might have been Les Block.
No.
Les Block is also one of the world's foremost pianists. He's a fabulous musician.
Why did he move out of Boston?
Couldn't stand me.
Oh, that'll do it. Anyway,
so what's up, Ann?
Oh, well, I have a 94 Honda Accord.
Yeah.
And when I come out in the morning to go to work, I turn the key, and every once in a while, it won't start. It just kind of clicks over, and the only way I can get it started is to put it in gear, and then as I'm turning the key, kind of shake the key and shake the wheel.
Put it in gear. Is it an automatic transmission or a stick shift?
It's a stick shift.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just wondering, you know, why I have to go into, like, self-induced convulsions to get the car started.
Well, have you ever tried, like, deleting some of the steps to see which of them, if any, have any bearing on getting the car started? For example, I don't think that putting it in gear has anything to do with anything.
Right. You think that maybe it's more like the starter?
Oh, yeah. No, we think it's the starter.
We do.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's a starter. And the car is the right age to need a new starter. While it's entirely possible that you have a badly corroded connection at the battery, it's more likely that you have a bad connection inside the starter motor. And these starters on Hondas are kind of famous for this, for getting a bad spot.
Okay.
So, you know, one time out of 20, it might wind up in that bad spot, so you turn the key and nothing.
Right.
You know, and is that the case that the other 19 mornings it's okay?
Yeah, it's hit and miss, and I thought maybe it had to do with, like, cold or hot or humidity, but I just don't think that's it.
Do you call in sick on those days when it won't start?
No, but one day it just wouldn't start, and I thought I was going to be late. You know, I would have found a ride, but I thought I was going to be late, and I called, and I told her I was going to be late, and then right after I hung up with her, it started, so I had to call her back and tell her I was going to be
really
on time.
What do you do for a living?
I rent apartments.
Ah.
Yeah, mostly like college students and people that have just graduated.
Oh, so you seek out college students and charge them exorbitant rents to stay in these all beat-up apartments.
Very
affordable rents.
very well-kept apartments. I have to say that.
yeah. And they meet all the local codes, health and building and all that.
Yeah, well, the owners are great people, and I'm really lucky to work for them. So.
Well, that's good.
I have a friend who owned a bunch of houses in New Haven, Connecticut, where Yale is located, and the deal he had with every, I guess, change of the academic year, new students would move in for the year. And the deal he had was they could paint, he would supply the paint, and they would supply the labor. He said, I was going broke on the paint.
Yeah.
He said, one group would paint the rooms black. He said, the next guys wanted them white.
White.
He said, they'd
use
65 gallons of paint to paint them white. The next year, they wanted them black again. They'd paint them black. He said, and the rooms kept getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
He said, I just finally decided to panel everything. He covered everything with paneling. No more paint.
Yeah, that gets a little bit difficult if every student who moves in wants to paint, and we have to repaint it each time when they move out. So.
Anyway, I would say you could take this to your local mechanic, and if you left it there overnight, in all likelihood, it would misbehave for him.
And he would corroborate that it's the starter and just put it in.
Okay.
See you, Ann.
Good luck.
All right,
Ann.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there.
Hi.
This is Deborah. And
Deborah.
I'm calling from Bellingham, Washington.
With an O?
With an R-A.
With an R-A.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No O.
No O.
Yeah. So what's up?
Well, I have a GMC Sierra pickup.
Mm-hmm.
When I first noticed this, I was just driving along, and it was hot, and I needed to use my air conditioner. So I turned it on. And it did this knocking thing. And I thought, oh, my God, my air conditioner's going out. But then the knock just went away.
Was it a tuck, 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 tuck,
it was
tuck,
like
tuck.
This. Just like someone knocking at the door.
Come in.
Yeah. And it went away. And then it didn't come back for probably about 2 weeks. And then the next time I noticed it, I was getting in to drive somewhere. And I turned the key on. And the knock happened before I even got my truck started.
Get out.
Yes. Now,
oh, come on, Deborah. Give us a break here.
This is the real... It gets weirder.
Any idea where it's coming from?
Yeah. Well, no. But I think I know. It is. I'll tell you
yeah,
where,
well, no.
I'll tell you where it's not coming from.
Ah, it's good.
It's not coming from under the hood.
Woohoo! Really?
So now I'm driving my truck and I've forgotten that I have this problem until I'm ready to park. So I pull up to wherever it is I'm going and it's an automatic. So I put it in park and I turn it off. I take the key out and it knocks again. And it'll be knocking while I'm walking away from it. Uh-huh. And
oh,
people,
man.
I mean, it's loud enough.
Doesn't
people
anybody
look.
Screen these calls?
Catherine, you're fired!
And stay out!
Jeez.
So,
as you were walking, now you get a different perspective on the sound. Did you get any sense of where it might have been coming from then?
It sounds like it's coming from inside the glove compartment. So I open that up, and it's not, I think it's under the glove compartment. And it, you know, is there a fan or something in there?
If you want there to be, you can arrange it.
Well, help me.
Well, I tell you, I have no basis for this whatsoever. But when you described this problem, I heard fuel pump.
Really?
Now, it can't be the fuel pump. We know that for a fact. It makes no logical sense, but I could see... In my mind's eye, the fuel pump.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Get out.
I'm glad there's two of you there. Now, what did you think?
Well, here's what I came up with. I mean, if you think his answer is wacky. You ready for mine?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not even sure your car has one. At least we know your car has a fuel pump. But I think your car might have one of these, and it might not. But if it does have it... This
I
is
know
it.
What it is.
Power antenna.
Ooh! Ooh! Ooh!
It doesn't have one.
It doesn't have one. That would have been great.
Let me make this a little easier, maybe.
Yeah, go
there's
ahead.
Underneath the glove compartment, there's like a covering to something that looks like it might be the air conditioner or the heating.
Well, that is
the heater core is under there.
The heater and the air conditioner evaporator and all that stuff is under
there. That's where it kind of sounds like the noise is coming from.
Well, then we'd have to go with our idea of the fan. Because there's a fan under there, too.
There is a fan under there.
And if the fan were loose and every once in a while went out of kilter and started banging against the housing.
More likely something stuck in there. There's a twig or something in there. So you get the bump, 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 bump. And then it moves out of the way. That would also explain why when you turned the key on but hadn't started it, it would come on. Because the fan runs then, even though the air conditioner is
okay.
And then when you got out...
We're going to explain that one. Go ahead.
It's just spinning. The fan is, winding down, and you get out of the car, and boom, 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 boom. You might have even noticed, Deborah, that as you walked away, the frequencies went boom, 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 boom.
No, I didn't, but...
Deborah, you are the worst contestant.
Uncooperative.
It might be I was probably trying to get away from it real fast so nobody knew it was my truck making all that noise.
We'd have to go with the fan.
No, I'm sticking with the power antenna.
You are.
I'm sticking with it.
Even though she doesn't have one.
That's the best answer. Yet.
Hey, maybe they were going to give her the power antenna. They started to install it, and it was Friday afternoon.
Oh, and somebody read the order sheet and said, hey, wait a minute, this isn't getting a power antenna. Well, I've already put it in. Just stick the regular antenna in there.
No one will notice the motor underneath. Have someone take off that box and take a look at the fan, if it's not really impossible to do, and see if that fan is loose or if there's a twig in there. I think that's it.
That would be great. I'm on my way to the shop right now.
See you,
Thank you very much.
Hey, Deborah, bye-bye. Don't call again.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, fellas, it's Matt from Lafayette, Louisiana. How y'all
How
doing?
How you doing?
Hi, doing
Matt.
Great.
What's going on?
A couple of years ago, my wife was driving along in her Suburban when a mouse ran across her foot.
Oh.
Now, she believes that the mouse entered the Suburban from our garage. We got rid of the Suburban and got a Town and Country. We got rid of the mice and got a cat. But she refuses to park the Town and Country in the garage. Now, how can I convince her that no mouse will ever again intrude on her driving experience?
You can't.
Oh,
and
Lord.
You'd be a fool to try.
But doesn't she know that mice live outside?
Yes.
And of course, they search for a safe haven in warm garages. But your garage, Lafayette, Louisiana, is warm all year round.
Absolutely.
It's warm all the time. So they didn't go in the garage because they were cold. They went in the garage because someone was eating potato chips in that car and left a bag of them sitting on the seat.
Well, I do have two small kids.
Ah-ha-ha!
Yeah, there was food. Mice are looking for food all the time. That's pretty much all they do.
Yeah.
Except for a few other activities.
When this happened and the mouse ran across her foot, did she have a terrible accident?
She did not.
Wow. What a woman.
She is quite a woman. There is no doubt about that.
Well, we have mice in my house right now. And every once in a while, one of them comes running out in the broad daylight. And shows up on one
at the most inopportune moment.
I mean, one of them was on the kitchen table.
Well,
dancing?
Dancing on the kitchen table in daylight.
Looking for food.
And
was he holding a knife and a fork?
Yeah.
Said, hey,
when it's lunch, what are we having for lunch? And my wife was terrified. And I don't blame her. I mean, there was that little thing running across the kitchen table where we eat our food. Of course, I being the big man of the house, I caught the little devil. Don't ask me how. And
you released him to the outside.
I released him to the outside. He was back in 15
minutes. From the fourth floor window, right? once they find a way in.
Oh, they're in. That's
so
it.
I'll never get her to park in the garage again.
You may never get it to drive again.
Yeah, because I don't think the garage made a difference.
Okay.
And it could have happened that the mice got in, not in the garage, but the mouse was in there for days. Maybe she picked up the mouse at work.
Oh, man, now I'll never convince her to drive again.
The mouse might have been in one of the grocery bags. Oh, my God, think of that!
Yeah.
Or a plant. Maybe she bought some plants at the nursery.
Huh?
There are lots of ways for mice to get into your car. The good news is that mice are pretty harmless.
Well, this one ran across her foot, and I don't think she thought it was harmless at the time.
Well, I mean, we, especially us city folk, we're scared to death of creatures that don't walk around like we do. And women especially, it seems, are terrified of mice. Mice are simple little
things. I'm terrified of mice.
You are.
Well, once I know what they are, I'm all right. But the first sight of a mouse
really
always startles me. I don't know why.
Kidding. Yeah. I remember once I was talking to my wife on the phone, and she was sitting there in the living room at home. I was at work, and we were talking on the phone, and all of a sudden, she drops the phone, and I hear screaming. She had seen a mouse run across the floor. That was it. We moved.
So I guess you're moving now,
I guess I'm moving again. She's probably looking at real estate right now.
Well, Matt, good luck. You have an uphill battle, but I don't think you're going to convince her about anything concerning the garage. But I would use the argument that the mouse is not coming into the garage for comfort and warmth, because it's warm enough in Lafayette, Louisiana, and that there had to have been food involved. And the best thing you can do is, now that you have the cat...
We do.
Yeah, is to keep food out of the garage and keep the cat in there, and there'll be no more mice.
Well, listen, thank you all so much.
Good luck.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Good luck, Matt.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Hi. Hey, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Give me a hint. Remind me.
Well, I'll remind you. It was partially automotive.
Oh, partially. I remember that. It's not ringing a bell, though.
Well, it was about a dispute over a cup of coffee.
A dispute over coffee. What's partially automotive about that?
Well, the guy was drinking coffee at a car dealership.
Oh, come on.
We'll be back with the whole story and more of your calls in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
Down at that R&V, any place I'd rather be, I'm standing in line at the R&V. You better bring all those papers, or you're gonna be back later. I'm standing in line at the R&V.
And even though 99-pound weaklings kick sand at their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk...
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was only slightly automotive, and it was sent in by Jim Kugler, who says he stole it from Mensa.
Oh, that's all right.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Why not? He says, my friend Richard bought himself a fancy European sports car, and one day he received a letter from his dealership asking him to stop by for a recall. The recall inspection would be completed within like 30 minutes while he waited, of course. So Richard made an appointment and took his car in. He was then directed to the fancy waiting room. The hospitality hostess pointed out the magazine rack and directed him to a cafe table and asked if he would like some coffee and a brioche.
Yeah, that's what we do at the shop.
Yeah, we ask our customers that too. You like a brioche? You go around the corner to the bakery. Richard said, "We." And soon the hostess returned and provided him with a steaming cup of joe. Just as he was about to put the cup to his lips, he saw an extinguished match floating in his coffee. He called the hostess over to his table and pointed out the used match. She cried out, "Mon Dieu!" And she immediately removed the offensive cup and quickly returned saying, "I'm so sorry, sir. Here's a fresh cup."
Okay.
After he calmed down, Richard tasted his coffee and then indignantly slammed his fist on the table and bellowed, "What are you trying to pull? This is the same cup of coffee. All you did was take out the match." How could he have known that?
Of course, I know how he knew. He had put a spoon of sugar in it.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, I don't know the questions.
But you sometimes know
the answers. Sometimes know the answers.
He had put sugar in his coffee, of course.
And it still had sugar in it.
And when she took out the match, she couldn't have taken out the sugar. Sneaky, sneaky. Do we have... So look, like I said, this was stolen from a Mensa quiz. So if you got this...
I'm a Mensa potential.
You're a Mensa patient. Anyway, do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. The winner this week is Joan Britton from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got. Joan is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which she can pick up our CD called Once Upon a Car Fire, The Greatest Stories Ever Told.
And retold and retold and retold.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is these stories that we tell about each other, our families, our staff, they seem to get better every time we tell them.
Well, that's true. I mean, when Berman first became the subway fugitive, it was over a cup of coffee he tried to drink on the D.C. Metro. Remember that?
Yeah.
But we told the story to people so many times that by the time we told it on the air, I think it was a rack of lamb, a side of julienned potatoes, and a Chateau Lafite Rothschild Bordeaux that he was consuming on the subway platform.
Yeah, well, it's still a good story. And you can hear that one and the whole collection of stories, Joan, with your gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, and congratulations to you.
Good job, Joan. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay with us. Don't give up on us yet. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sarah from Portland, Oregon.
Sarah?
Yeah, Sarah.
With an H?
With a no H.
No H?
No.
And you're from Portland.
Well, I'm from Estacada, which is like 40 minutes from Portland. I just moved from Portland.
Oh, okay. Portland's good enough for us.
Yeah, okay.
Oregon is good enough for us.
Okay, good.
What's up?
I just got this 1984 Mazda pickup truck. It's not actually mine. It's my husband's uncle's, and he bought it, I think, for like $400. And
84?
Yeah, 84. Mm-hmm. And
$400. Price is right.
Well, anyways, it broke down when he got here to Portland from San Francisco, and he said that we could use it if we helped him fix it. So we helped him fix it, and we replaced the head gasket. And I had never done mechanics before, and I just loved it. And I just read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance and was thinking about all that stuff while I was doing it. Have you guys read that?
Yep.
Read it. Of course we've read it.
All right, good. So now there's something wrong with the transmission, and it's been wrong for a long time. Like, somebody drove it from Montana to San Francisco and then to Portland with the same noise. But it's just this, I mean, when I first started driving, it was like an embarrassingly loud noise. Like, I was like, whoa, like going through town, like
it's
looking
a,
around.
It's a stick shift?
It's a stick shift, and it only happens in first, second, and third gear. It stops in fourth, and then in fifth it comes back, but not as much.
Oh.
And it's just like grinding, kind of skidding, like sandpaper in a blender kind of sound.
Well, that's about what it is.
Is it the bearing?
Yeah, it is. It is probably bearings. It's bearings in what's called the lay shaft of the transmission. You know, in first, second, third, and fifth,
okay,
you're actually engaging gears in the main shaft with gears in what's called the lay shaft. And in doing so, that's how you change the gear ratio.
Okay.
Okay, that's how you take what's coming into the transmission and make what's coming out of it go at two different speeds.
Okay.
In fourth gear, you are not doing that. In fourth gear, you're taking this whatever speed the input shaft of the transmission is turning.
Same one going out.
It's the same speed going out because it's just going straight out and not meshing any gears.
Okay.
Okay. And that's why the noise is gone.
Okay.
In fourth gear. So if you can figure out some way to drive around entirely in fourth gear.
Yeah, I'm just trying.
You know, you can skip fixing this thing.
Okay, no, but I want to fix it. I like fixing.
So you did this head gasket and you got the bug?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, bad. I love this truck now.
Well, see, this is not an easy thing to do. It's not impossible.
Okay, and I have mechanic friends, so I can elicit some help.
Well, it's going to be easy. First of all, the first step is taking the transmission out.
First,
get the truck up in the air.
Okay. I'm in the air. I can't just get under it?
No. I think working on your back and taking out the drive shaft and the shifter and then ultimately the transmission
okay.
is going to be tough. And it's heavy, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're under there and the thing falls on you, you might be under there for weeks before anyone finds your skeletal remains.
Okay.
Say, wait a minute. Anyone seen Sarah? I see her sneakers.
This is what happened to me. I mean, I remember it was not a Mazda. It was an American truck.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that transmission sitting on my chest underneath.
While the rest of us went out for
everyone
lunch.
Everyone went out to lunch, and I was there, help, help.
But what I was
going to
say.
Because truck transmissions weigh a lot, man.
Yeah, I mean, this fortunately is not like a, you know, Chevrolet pickup truck.
Yeah.
It's a lighter transmission. But what I was going to suggest is that instead of taking this transmission apart, you're certainly free to do that to find out what happened to it.
Oh, I smell the junkyard coming.
You're going to go and you're going to buy a used transmission.
Yeah.
And it's
going to
be a dead-on match.
No, a junkyard that has a few of the exact same ones.
Of course, they may have an extra one by the time you're done. But you're going to go there and match the thing up, and it's going to be a dead-on match. There can't be anything different.
Okay.
You know, and rebuilding it would cost you a heck of a lot more than buying a used one. And I don't think
really?
It would. Yeah, even if you did all the labor yourself.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I think you'd be better off buying a used transmission and sticking it in there. And by the way, you should entertain putting a new clutch in at the same time.
Oh, because it's just right there.
You're going to have it out practically.
Oh, yeah.
Six more bolts and you've got the clutch out.
Okay.
And once the transmission's falling on your chest, the clutch falling on your chest will be
nothing.
It'll bounce right off.
I can handle anything.
Sarah, I applaud. Yes,
your energy.
As do I, and I have confidence that you will come out of this with flying colors or a crushed rib cage, one or the other. Send us a picture of your feet because
they'll be sticking out.
See you later, Sarah.
All right, thank you so much.
Bye bye.
Bye.
She's going to do it.
And this is a great way to learn stuff.
It's the only way.
Isn't it?
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. By the way, she should have her cell phone right at her side.
Oh, yeah.
So when the transmission does fall on her chest and she can't move, she can call someone and... that's what she needs. She doesn't need the cell phone. She needs the help. The transmission's falling on me. I can't get up.
I can't get up.
The button that you press, and they'll come, and the EMTs will come and pull her out by the ankles. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Scott from Lafayette Hill, Pennsylvania.
Hi, from where? Scott.
Lafayette Hill. It's just west of Philly.
Lafayette, okay.
Lafayette Hill.
And I got a 850 Volvo 97, not the turbo.
Uh-huh.
And... recently, I've been having problems with when I drive the left front end by the tire, I hear a noise when I steer, when I hit a bump, and it goes, and I'm trying to figure out if it's maybe a shock or strut
spring. It's a ball joint.
The ball joint.
Yeah, they're famous for that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm 99% sure that it's the ball joint. And you can reproduce the noise without driving the car. You can just have somebody push down on the bumper or the fender. And you can get the noise right there.
Well, I've noticed that even when I got out of the car, I heard it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, it could also be a tie rod end.
Now, am I talking a lot of money here?
No. If it's a tie rod end, it's real short money. And the way you're going to find this out is you're going to have to, with the car on the ground, because you need the ball joint loaded.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have to listen to this thing with a short piece of rubber hose. You know, it's touching the ball joint and the other end stuck in your ear. And then as your assistant pushes up and down on the fender.
While you're underneath it.
Kind of underneath.
I doubt if that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's going
to
happen.
You don't really have to be underneath. Depends on how long a piece of hose you
the
have.
The purpose of the hose is that your arm, you know, holds one end of it and your head is out of the way of the descending bumper.
Well, couldn't I just bring it to my mechanic?
Well, you could do that. No, I just, you know, after having talked to Sarah, I thought that in the same spirit that you'd be, you know.
Wanting to do this yourself.
Actually, you want to know something? If I had a garage, I'm a bit of a gearhead. I could possibly do it, but I don't have a garage in this present place, so I have to bring it somewhere. I have a regular mechanic who will do it for
garage?
Me.
Garage? You do it in the street.
Yeah,
what's a garage got to do with it?
The ball joint is apt to cost you a few hundred bucks.
Okay.
Maybe three. I don't know exactly. And the tie rod end is probably a lot less than half of that.
Well, the thing I was wondering is because my kid and I were listening to when we were driving, and she's like thinking that we're going to be driving on the way to go shopping or drop her off at school or something, and all of a sudden we're just going to, like, the car's going to fall apart on me.
Yeah, she'd be very embarrassed if you pulled up in front of her school and a wheel fell off car.
she's a bit of a technoid herself, so she could actually talk intelligently about that stuff.
Oh, good.
But she's not too embarrassed. I hope I'm not a source of embarrassment for her. I try not to be.
You, of course you are.
Oh, God,
of course,
please, you're confirming something I already know, but I don't want to deal with it.
No,
we have experience.
Yeah. First and second-hand experience.
Between us, we have 17 kids, and every single one of them is ashamed of us.
with good reason. But get it looked at.
Well, I'm going to bring it in this weekend. I have a regular mechanic who does the work.
Don't waste time, because if either one of these things breaks,
mm-hmm.
You're done for.
Okay.
I mean, it's really.
And then your daughter will hate you forever.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't want that.
You don't want that. So get it taken care of. See you, Scott.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. You know what time it is now, pal?
Time to pull the weeds out of the floor of the MG?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if they took our advice.
And just how badly that worked out for them. So who's our lucky player this week?
It's Vicky from Hudson, Mass. You do remember Vicky from Hudson, don't you?
I don't even remember Mass. Remind me why Vicky called us, will you?
Well, she had just purchased a dog training franchise called Barkbuster.
It's coming back to me now.
Yeah, and she needed a flashy new vehicle that would be a good advertisement for her business. So we zeroed right in on her specific needs. When the dog barks in the house, do you have a collection of whips that you bring with you?
No, I mean, the whole point of this particular training is it's non-physical.
Non-physical?
Non-physical, because you want to have a good relationship with your dog. You don't ever want to hurt your dog.
You're going to just starve him to death.
No. No.
I guess I wouldn't make a good dog trainer.
This is the reward approach.
It's actually not even with food reward. It's more with just learning how to really communicate with your dog in terms of doggy language.
Oh, so you're a dog whisperer.
That's exactly right.
Really?
That's right.
My wife is a dog whisperer.
Really?
Yeah, because our dog is hard of hearing, so they've had a tough time communicating. So did we actually ever get around to recommending a vehicle for Vicky, or did we just goof around for 20 minutes?
Well, based on the requirements that she gave us, we recommended a small car-based SUV like a Toyota RAV4 or a Hyundai Santa Fe.
I'm sure she didn't buy either one of those. Let's see what happened. Vicky, are you there?
I am. Hi, guys.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Look, before we find out what happened, verify that we have not spoken to you since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That's absolutely true.
And that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by that necklace made of freeze-dried liver treats that we sent you.
It has not, absolutely.
All right, what did you buy?
I ended up buying a Toyota RAV4.
Hey!
You did?
I did.
Wasn't that one of the ones we recommended?
It sure was.
Ta-da!
Yeah, well, that sounded like the right vehicle to us, and I guess it looked like the right vehicle to you.
It did, and it looks great. I have great decals on it, and the decals, I have dogs that are the size of the car on the side.
Great!
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
So it's big enough for you, and the dogs like it.
The dogs like it. It's big enough for me. It draws a lot of attention. I'm like a traveling billboard.
No kidding.
And you haven't had any trouble with it of any kind. I mean, it's been...
I haven't. Am I going to?
No.
No, well, no. You know, whenever we recommend a vehicle, we always do so with some trepidation because you're always afraid that we're going to hear from someone that's going to say, oh, geez, this is the worst vehicle I ever bought.
And then they come and beat us up.
Yeah.
And we're wimps.
They sick the dogs on us. I mean, these things happen, you know.
We set the dogs out.
So we wanted to make sure that you were happy.
I am really happy. It was a great suggestion, and my car looks fantastic.
Do your customers look at the car and say, cool car, or, you know?
They do. Everyone comments on the car. Everyone thinks it's absolutely awesome, and people stare at me. I can't go anywhere anonymously anymore.
There you go.
People stare at the car all the time.
Yeah, it's probably you they're staring at. What's the thing that you like most about it?
I really like the size of the car, and I really like the mileage.
Oh, yeah? What are you getting?
I'm getting, you know, in like the low 20s, and before I was driving a car where I barely would get 13, so you can imagine it didn't take much to improve that.
Oh, most people get in the 60s with this car.
Yeah, it must be something wrong with yours, but anyway, you're on your own.
Uh-oh.
Listen, now, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Vicky.
Well, thanks for having me back. It's been a lot of fun.
And good luck with your business, and enjoy your RAV4. You'll have it for years.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, please email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
But right now, I think we have to take a little break.
Yeah, and when we come back, my brother will dazzle you with this week's brand new puzzler.
Well, The puzzler might dazzle my brother because he's easily dazzled. I mean, the shoehorn still dazzles him.
We'll be back with the new puzzler and more of your car questions in a minute, so please don't go anywhere.
My old car takes me all over Texas, up and down the hills, country and downtown, faithful friend, always waiting for me, always starts and always runs. My old car took me to the hospital when I was feeling ill, sick as a dog one night, and made the long trip bring me and my stuff to Texas, both glad to leave the snow and ice.
And even though tear-shaped boulders run down the faces on Mount Rushmore whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new puzzler.
Yeah.
Is this the dazzling new puzzler?
Dazzling. I'm dazzled already.
Go ahead. Anyway, this was sent in by a young lady named Sarah Zimmerman, age 13.
Ooh.
And I had to, you know, mess around with it a little bit, but she did a pretty good job. Are you
yeah.
ready?
Yeah. You mean a 13-year-old is going to dazzle us?
Oh, it happens all the time.
Okay.
A pilgrim needs to make a journey on foot between Casablanca and Marrakesh. Exotic, right? I mean,
pilgrim.
A pilgrim, well, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's, of course, an arduous and dangerous trip at best, and it takes 6 days. And the most a traveler can carry for food and water is 4 days' worth.
Oh. I hope there's a hotel somewhere in between.
No, there are no hotels. Here's the question. How many people must start out together so that one of them can make it all the way to Marrakesh from Casablanca? And, oh, yeah, the others who start out along with the pilgrim don't die along the way.
Really?
Right, so several people, obviously, if this pilgrim starts out by him or herself.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, he's delivering movies from Casablanca to the Marrakesh multiplex. That's why he's dead. But if this pilgrim starts out by himself, he yeah. has only 4 days of food and water. It's a 6 day journey. He's going to die.
Okay. So all of the, there's some number of people, and they're all going to carry 4 days worth of stuff.
That's all they can carry is 4 days worth of food and water. One of them has to make it.
And the others don't die?
The others don't die. They don't give their lives so that the movies can make it to the Marrakesh multiplex.
And there's no place else to stop?
No place to stop. Except...
I won't say it.
If you think you know the answer, etch it onto a 7-piece bevel-edge dynamic socket chisel set with 7-inch blades forged from high-carbon Sheffield steel, leather-tipped ash handles, and a hand-stitched leather storage belt, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. It's Gene from Festus, Missouri.
Hi, Gene.
Hi. And I recently bought a 1971 Cadillac Coupe de Ville.
71?
Yes. And it's got 7,800 actual miles on it.
100?
Yes. Yeah, it was the little old lady's car.
When these things go on sale?
Yeah.
But I was reading the owner's manual, and it says that I can use unleaded or low-leaded fuels, or if no gasoline is available, I can use a regular leaded gasoline. And I'm wondering how that's possible and if it's better to just go ahead and buy a lead additive and add it to, or if I should save my money and just put in unleaded gas.
Well, when this first happened, this unleaded thing, there was a big hoopla that all cars that were made looking for leaded gas, the engines were going to self-destruct.
Yeah.
And so everyone came out with lead substitutes. But it turned out to be completely bogus, and none of it was true.
Well, it was true to an extent.
Yeah, but not such that that people were going to burn up their valves, which everyone thought, especially if you continue with the rate of of 5 miles a week, MPW.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can probably get away with unleaded gas.
Yeah, I mean, how many miles a year are you planning to drive it?
I don't plan on driving it that much because part of the allure of the car is, you know, it's so original and so...
That it has 7,800 miles on it, of course.
Oh, man.
And does it look like it really has 7,800?
Yeah, in fact, I brought a friend with me up to St. Louis where I bought the car because I was a little concerned. I thought maybe I had 107,000. and he used to work at General Motors there in St. Louis, and he said, no, he says, it's got the original belts and hoses, and it's a beautiful car. It's red with white leather interior, and I just love it.
What did you pay? You mind if I ask what you paid for
it? I paid $16,000 for it, which I know is probably a lot, but it was worth it to me. And the reason this car held such a special memory for me is when I was 11 in 1971, and I had a paper out, and this rich guy had a car just like this, a 71, red with white interior, and he always wanted me to put the newspaper on the passenger seat because he'd go down for coffee. And I'd open that door and think, oh, my God, this is the most beautiful car.
Yeah.
So when I saw it, I just...
You had to.
I had to have it, so...
Sure.
Have you given the car a name?
I have. I call it Big Daddy Pooh Baba Butt Crack.
Okay, I was thinking a Rosebud, but that's good. Never mind.
Well, good luck, Gene.
But you can burn anything. Don't worry about the lack of lead. I mean, obviously, and those, I don't think the lead additives really accomplished very much. I mean, the lead was supposed to prevent something called valve seat recession. The lead actually, the tetraethyl lead acted as a cushion between the valve and the seat. But if the worst case scenario is if it does in fact happen, you're going to have a valve job done and have the hardened seats put in there. I mean, it's not a cheap thing to do, but it sounds like you're planning to keep this car forever.
I am, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the valve job on top of the $16,000 that you spent is not going to be a whole bunch. And
do you think that what do you think about the price that I paid for the car?
I think you did great, Gene.
I think you did absolutely fabulous.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you got a nice car and you're going to enjoy it. If you're going to enjoy it as much as I think you are,
I am.
It hardly makes a difference what you paid for it.
That's the way I look at it, yeah.
Have fun with it.
Okay, thanks a lot for the information.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I have never spent $16,000 for a car.
I would say that all your cars added up might be 16, but barely.
That's about right.
180.
I don't think it is 16.
Well, we went to...
I mean, most of the cars I bought were in the hundreds.
Tommy and I went to a concert, and while we were in the parking lot, my brother runs into this fellow, and they exchange glances, and Tom says, I know you. You look familiar to me.
Mm.
And the fellow says, I've never seen you before in my life. But Tom insists.
If I have, I want to forget it.
But Tom insists, and finally they realize they have some common ground. In fact, Tom had bought a car from this guy.
A brand new car.
One of his few brand new cars, his 1960 Rambler American. This was known
convertible.
As the non-sleek white beauty. And so this fellow showed up. It turns out that he's a neighbor of mine, and he showed up with the actual card showing what options Tommy had gotten on the car done, and except for the convertible. And what the car costs. And I think the car was like $2,100.
It was like $2,000, yeah. I remember that very well.
Yeah.
So that was one
and
of
that's
the
why,
high price.
That's
ones.
Why you remembered him, because you must have cried all the way from the bank when you had to give him that check, huh?
Well, don't forget, $2,000 in 1960 was a lot of money, was it?
It must have been. It must have been. Anyway, if you want to give us a call about your car, it's 88.
I don't think it adds up to 16,000.
All of them? No, I don't
all
think
of them.
So.
And I bought two of them brand new.
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Maria.
Maria.
Where are you from?
I'm from near Worcester, Millbury.
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 Yeah.
I see the sign on the Mass Pike for Millbury.
That's right, exit 11.
Does anyone ever go there?
Me.
So anyway, how can we help you?
Well, I need some help figuring out who's responsible for totaling my car, my boyfriend or his ex-wife.
Oh.
Oh, this is great.
Go ahead.
It's a funny story.
I'll bet it is.
I was letting him use my car for several weeks, and I found out that his ex-wife, after she picked up their son, pulled out of his driveway and, in doing so, tapped into my car.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
I can see it coming.
Yeah.
He lives on a hill, right?
It actually, you know, it wasn't even on a hill. It was a flat driveway, flat road, but it rolled out of the driveway, rolled across the road, down into a riverbank of the Connecticut River. And I'm not kidding. And it got hung up in all these trees and brush and stuff. And, you know, so there it was sitting kind of akimbo and got towed out. And turns out it was totaled.
Yeah, that usually happens when it goes into the river.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did she know it was your car, by the way?
I don't know.
Well, that would be very important to know.
Yeah, right.
What kind of a car was it?
It was a 91 Toyota Corolla station wagon.
Stick shift?
Yep.
And give us the situation again. What were the relative positions of the two cars? Where was your car?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm just imagining that it was parked on the driveway, and she was kind of in front of it, because you can kind of, it's a wide driveway, and you can kind of pull around. He was probably parked behind, and as she was moving out, she tapped into it, and it rolled out.
Now, wait a minute. She taps this car, and it picks up enough speed.
Yeah.
And how far does it roll? Does it roll, like, across the street?
Yeah, it's out the driveway. I wasn't there, so I'm guessing it rolled about 15, 20 feet out the driveway.
Well, it made it to the next state. It wound up in the Connecticut River.
And so it had to go across the street,
yep.
And then from there down some kind of
an embankment, yeah.
And it went two exits on the Mass Pike, and it wound up in the Connecticut River.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So there were no witnesses to this except the ex-wife and the kid.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And the kid was really upset. You know, he called me, actually, on my cell phone, and I got the message later, and he was like, oh, bumped your car, we're sorry, and I had no idea what happened. So I called up, you know, this fellow, and I said, what happened to my car? I was just in such shock, and he told me what happened. I said, oh, my God, didn't you have the emergency brake on? And he said, no, I didn't have the emergency brake on. Why should I have the emergency brake on?
And he didn't have it in gear either.
Then I asked him that, and he said that, of course, yes, he said he had it in gear.
I don't think so. How steep is the driveway?
It's not. It's flat.
And how steep is the street?
It's flat.
Didn't bump it.
Yeah.
She pulled in front of it, backed up into it, and pushed it.
Have you met her?
Yeah, I have. And actually, I talked to her afterwards about insurance stuff, and she was really, really apologetic.
Well, she's going to be more apologetic when she's going to give you the money.
Well,
because it's clear that she's responsible.
Is she? Yeah.
Well, first of all, even
if you believe her story,
mm-hmm.
which is totally incredible.
Yeah.
She's still responsible. The car would not have gone across the street by itself.
Mm-hmm.
It needed her to push it.
Well, that's true.
And we suspect strongly that she didn't tap nothing.
She had it floored.
Tap my foot. You're picking up somebody, which means you're pulling into a driveway, which I presume is wide enough for two cars, right?
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
And your car is parked at the street end of the driveway. So if I'm picking up a kid.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull into the driveway, get the kid, and pull out again. Why in the world would I pull in front of the car that's parked to the
unless
left?
Unless you wanted to ram it.
Unless you were planning to ram it. I mean, you can't imagine why a person would park that way. You'd pull into the right of it, and then you'd back out.
Except that it's a kind of a long driveway, and I could imagine that that would happen.
Well, she might have been cutting the wheel, backing out, and caught. My guess is locked bumpers with you or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then then she knew your car was starting to roll, but she said, well, what am I going to do about it? What am I going to jump out and grab it so it doesn't roll away?
And the river's so close.
Jeez.
Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's responsible. He is not responsible because...
Well, he is responsible because... Number one, he didn't have the emergency brake on, and I suspect he didn't have it in gear.
That's what I'm...
Well, he was very careless if he just pulled into the driveway and got out of the car with the thing in neutral and no brake on.
Yeah.
But he's not guilty of destroying your car.
Yeah.
Because if the car sat there in the driveway by itself...
Right.
Then it never would have found its way to the river.
Right.
She owes you a car.
So there's some shared responsibility.
I mean,
bet.
Lucky for them that it's a 91 Corolla.
Yeah. So then there's one little other piece to it, because I'd like to find out whether or not you're supposed to set the brake when you park a car.
You are.
You are.
Yeah.
And then one other little piece of it is that a friend of mine then gave him her 85 Volvo. And I suggested that he might consider, you know, setting the brake when he parks it, because she'd feel real bad if that one went over the bridge, you know, down the bank. And he said, I have no intention of setting any brake. Lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place.
I would reconsider this whole boyfriend-girlfriend situation if I were you. This guy sounds like a wacko.
A wacko.
Yeah. Now, here's what you should do. In the middle of the night, you should somehow fake it so that that Volvo winds up across the street.
Yeah, call his wife up and say, hey, I've got another job
or
for
right
you.
On the bank of the river.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And a tree stopped it by luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you did. He needs a good lesson because he's been a knucklehead.
Yeah, well, let's teach it to him.
We could have Vito and Sergio take a little trip out there to Millbury.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And have a little talk with this guy.
We have a lot of relatives out there in your neck of the woods.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss, Maria.
Well, thank you very much.
And somebody's insurance is going to have to give you a car.
Well, you've really helped. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you,
Maria. More than you know.
And as my grandmother used to say, "Bins is your boner."
Yeah.
think about this whole relationship well.
Carefully, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll take your advice.
See you later.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again.
What's happened?
You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blooper, Penelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Turtle Bay Frito-Lay, Cheese Soufflé, Nescafé, Chardonnay, Peach Sorbet, and Milky Way Free Lunch Cabaret, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oteka Shower. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our videographer from the Tel Aviv office is Shlomo Replay. Our Swedish pessimist is Gunnar D. Days. Our communications director is Noam Sayan. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our anger, our guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the wilting summer students in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
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 We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1226, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week, get all the details on the Car Talk vehicle donation program, where you can donate your used car and benefit your station.
Any used car?
Well, the car has to be easily distinguishable from a compost heap, so your car's out of the running, you know.
Check out the Car Talk vehicle donation program at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the Supreme Court rules unanimously that states are allowed to stick their fingers in their ears whenever we're on, this is NPR.